The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
You know, I got to give a lot of credit to my producer, Jay, who puts in the catchiest, most hip music to open that show. You know, we got to have this disclaimer read at the beginning of the show. And actually, that's Jay's voice, you know, actually reading that disclaimer. And he puts on that catchy music. And it just starts off your Sunday, 8 o'clock in the morning, bright and cheery. And here we are once again in studio. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president of Friedman Financial. We are located in Peabody, right near the North Shore Mall. Where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand each and every Sunday. The show's called Dollars and Cents, and this week, yes, we have a special guest. I bring her back into the studio on a periodic basis because we need to add some intelligence to the show. You know, it's not just all about fun and games. Sometimes we need someone that actually brings us back down to the real level here and gives you some real important advice, and it's always from a woman's perspective, of course, and that's Marion Gilman. She is my business partner. Marion, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here, I think.
She's not quite sure what we're in for today. We're kind of doing
an introduction like that.
Yeah.
I didn't know we were so hip.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all about Jay giving it the music.
There you go.
You know, now that he's doing Billy's show, you know, and he puts on the really hip music and he adds something in hip for us. So this is, you know, maybe 104.9 is going hip-hop or maybe top 40.
I would not start that rumor.
That happened to us before.
Yeah, that did happen. That's right.
The flip.
That's right. The other station we were at years ago, they were an all-talk radio station. And then on December 28th, they handed us a note saying, your contract is being canceled because we're moving away from talk radio and we are going hip-hop. And so all the talk radio shows were out.
Was it a last-minute flip?
We found out 2 days before.
Wow.
It was the 28th of December. Everybody was walking around like zombies around the studio wondering what just happened. And, yep, this whole new team of people showed up January 1st.
That is not happening here.
Well, I didn't think so. You know,
it wasn't a big deal for us, but
No.
For the employees of the station.
Yeah, sure, some of these folks that were doing, you know, a daily show, of course, for several hours, that was a big change for them. For us, it was, well, you know what it became?
That's how you came to us.
It became an opportunity. And I will tell you, it's probably one of the best moves that we ever made was leaving this national or our state-sized big radio station and coming to a local station like North Shore 104.9, where we've gotten to meet so many folks that are actually local to our practice. Our business is here in Peabody. And for 50 years, April of next year, it'll be 50 years where our clients come from the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, Southern New Hampshire area. We didn't need to talk to clients that were in Providence, Rhode Island or Seekonk, Massachusetts or wherever it might be.
That's right.
It's worked out to be really nice.
That's correct.
Now, Marion, maybe just to kind of give people an overview, because you were with me. We used to do that show live every Thursday and take calls. Now, this is
every Sunday.
Every Sunday. That's right. And sometimes we'd have to compete with the Patriots. And can you believe it? People would actually watch the Patriots over listening to our show.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it really was. So Marion, what do you see as different in this type of a show format than what we had with the talk radio, call-in talk radio type thing?
Well, we certainly have more control here over, you know, what information we can impart to the listeners. When we had call-in, we had random questions. So sometimes they just overlapped one another, and we weren't able to provide as much information as we might have liked.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think one of the things that I enjoy about this show is that, you know, we get to drive the topic. We'll let our listeners drop us emails, drop us questions, drop us ideas that we share on the radio. But when you're in a format where you're taking live calls all the time, sometimes the questions that get asked might be important to that one person that's asking the question, but it might not be particularly relevant to the mass audience that may be listening to the show. So this week, we thought, Marion and I would try to kind of use our time today to give you some financial advice in a language you can understand and put it into a perspective of what does a financial planner do? What can you expect from a financial planner? We're going to look at our office and begin to think about what you could expect. If you walk into our office or any financial planner's office, I think there's a lot of myths that are out there. A lot of people seem to think that if I'm going to go visit a financial planner, well, they must be well. I got to be wealthy, right?
That's the biggest myth I think out there.
Yeah, I think it really is.
And I truly believe that people who are not in the upper echelon of wealth need financial planning more than those who are.
I absolutely agree. Yeah. So, you know, Marion, as we start to think about providing financial planning to individuals and families, it's not, like you said, it's not about the wealthy. It's not necessarily about those that need government assistance, but there is an enormous population that exists here on the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley who seek services from a firm like ours. And what do you think some of the surprises are that individuals find when they come to an office like ours and they say, geez, all right, I'm going to go see a financial planner. What am I in for? What do we kind of surprise them about, you think?
I actually think a lot of people feel that when they go to see a financial planner, we're going to tell them, well, you can't spend this kind of money, or you shouldn't be buying this, or spending your money on whatever it might be. And we don't judge like that. We don't care how you spend your money. The only question is, what are your goals? And if you are spending this type of money now, are you going to be able to achieve those goals? So we don't nitpick and say, okay, well, this is the budget you need to be on. This is where you need to spend your resources. We just show you what the choices are.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. It reminds me of a story that happened this past week, actually. Someone came to our office and they were facing the decision as to whether it's time to accept an early retirement offer from their company. Both he and his wife wanted to retire, but they weren't sure whether they could. And yet they had actually met with a financial advisor 3 or 4 years prior in trying to explore how close are they to retirement. Can they do it? And at the time, the financial advisor said to them, there is no way you can retire. You can't do this. And they were incredibly discouraged. Oh, were they not?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And they weren't sure how to achieve the goal that they wanted to reach.
But what do you think some of the reasons, what were some of the reasons that made them so discouraged? What do you think the financial planner was missing when they tried to provide that advice to them? Can you think? I mean, I keep on thinking about lots of things that the financial planner didn't ask them about their situation.
You know, one of them is very frequently what happens is that individuals are spending a lot more money because children are home or they're paying for college expenses. And they might assume that, oh, goodness, my expenses right now are, let's say it's, you know, $10,000 a month because they have the added expense of children. And once they reach retirement age or when they're leaving their workplace, they won't have that expense anymore. Their expenses might drop by $2,000 a month.
Well, yeah.
And a lot of people miss that. They miss pensions. They miss Social Security. Those are some of the key elements that come into play.
Yeah,
when you retire.
I think a lot of financial advisors, when they get into these meetings, and I've seen this happen a lot, they say to them, all right, well, how much money do you make? What do you think you need to spend in retirement? And the chances are the advisor, the client has no idea what they spend. No idea. So they said, all right, we'll just use a number. We'll use 70% or 80% because that's the rule of thumb. And that's just the dumbest thing in the world, to just pick and choose all these arbitrary rule of thumbs when you don't know a person's overall financial situation. And what we learned in the case of the person that we're talking about here is that by actually understanding all of their story, understanding where everything is, what everything is worth, where the resources were coming from, what they truly needed to spend in retirement, understanding that after you take out your 401k and have and the FICA taxes and the social security taxes, the Medicare taxes, the life insurance premiums, the UNICEF contributions that you might be making from your paycheck that no longer might exist when you're retired, all of a sudden they begin to realize, wait a second, not only can we retire, but we're going to retire and have more money than we imagined to leave to the next generation.
And that actually happens a lot with teachers in Massachusetts, public school teachers. because if they've worked for the necessary number of years and have reached the age requirement, they can actually leave with a pension that represents approximately 80% of their salary, which is frequently more than what they're taking home at the time.
Absolutely.
Because between the taxes and what they pay into the pension and et cetera, what gets withheld from their paycheck, that they very frequently have more money.
Yeah, so let me tell you, there's a lot that you can learn. And so what we're going to try to do is give you some advice, some guidance, and some thoughts on questions that you should be asking of a financial planner, or we'll actually tell you what we're doing in our office. We're going to pull the curtain back, and we'll do that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. When you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement, call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
If I had a million,
you know, $1 million isn't quite what it used to be, is it? Because there's so many people today that if you looked at your net worth, and you added it all up, everything you own less everything you owe, if you're over the age of 55 or 60, I wouldn't be surprised if your net worth was over $1 million. And you know what that makes you? A millionaire. Do you feel like a millionaire? Most people do not. They do not feel. What does a millionaire have to have? Is it $1 million? Is it millions of dollars? Big questions. Lots of questions to ask. And you
what
know,
what does being a millionaire mean?
That's right. What does being a millionaire mean? You know, a couple weeks ago, we asked the question, if someone were to hand you $1 million or $5,000 a month for the rest of your life, which would you take? Now, if you were 97 years old, I think I'd know the answer. But let's say you were 62 years old and someone said, you have a choice. You have no other money. I'm going to hand you either $1 million or $5,000 a month. What would you take? Big question that lots of you know,
many people face that decision when they're looking at pensions.
Yeah, in fact, by the way, you're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody. I'm sitting with my business partner, our executive vice president, or she can be anything she wants to be, our jack of all trades, the smartest person in the room. Her name is Marion Gilman. She's with us today as well, providing us more financial advice.
Good morning.
Yeah, thanks, Marion. Nice to have you. You know, I was thinking there was a guy actually that sent me an email a week or two after we asked that $1 million question.
Okay.
Should we take $1 million or $5,000 a month? And the reason I want to tell you this brief story is that sometimes we don't know what we don't know.
My favorite expression.
That's Marion's favorite expression. You know, and he seemed to have an idea. As to he wrote this note back to me, almost saying, Mark, you know, how would you miss this? This is an obvious solution. And he says, I would take the $1 million and I would ladder certificates of deposit and then take money as the CDs are coming due. And he says, and that would be a better solution than taking $5,000 a month. And Mary, what would you say to that? I mean, we face these responses to people all the time. Would it work?
Well, that depends on the interest rate.
Exactly.
So 10 years, or actually, let's put it this way. If interest rates were very high and you were making a great rate of return on those laddered CDs, might be a great solution to the problem, and it's guaranteed. However, interest rates are not very high right now. You certainly couldn't get a CD ladder and achieve a 6%, 7%, 8% rate of return.
No way. I mean, it's impossible. I mean, but everybody has an approach. Everybody has a way that they take a look at a situation and they say, you know what? I think this makes sense. And they're thoughtful about it sometimes. Sometimes they're taking their advice based upon what they hear from a neighbor, a friend, a relative. But sometimes you need to get someone to give you objective advice that's not emotionally charged, that takes a step back and looks at the big picture and makes sure that you're answering and that you're asking yourself all of the right questions. And I think that's something that you and I do pretty well in our meetings.
We try. That is certainly our primary focus, is to ask the right questions so that we can come up with a plan of action. and whatever that might be. But we truly want to see people achieve their goals, and that is a very important consideration.
Yeah, we
whatever those goals are.
Yeah, you know, everyone's talking about with the market being at a decent level right now, interest rates being as low as they are. Everyone's saying, well, maybe I should start looking at alternative different types of investments. Maybe I want to buy real estate. Maybe real estate is the way to go. Or maybe I bought a piece of real estate that has accumulated in value, and maybe I should hold on to it with the expectation that it'll appreciate even more. And more and more and more. And maybe I can turn this into a rental unit. But there's a lot of different factors to consider in your life rather than looking at that property as an isolated investment. And Mary, maybe you can kind of help us with a story that we've been dealing with that kind of puts it in shape. Or would you like me to frame it up for you? Would you like me to do that?
No, absolutely. So, no, that's fine. Right. And we have a lot of clients who own real estate. And you know what? Real estate can be used for investment purposes. It can also be used as a primary residence. However, sometimes the illiquidity of real estate can become problematic. When you first buy real estate, if you're renting it out, typically your rental income doesn't cover the cost of the mortgages or all of the expenses on the property. Once you've held it potentially 10, 15, 20 years, if you're in a decent real estate market and rents continue to increase, you actually can make a good amount of money sometimes off of that property. However, one of the issues that many people do not consider is if they sell the real estate, they would actually have a lot more money. They never think of the principal that is tied up in that real estate. And that is a key consideration for people in retirement, because they leave a lot of money, maybe unwittingly, to their heirs because they never unlock that value. They feel, I can only take the income stream from real estate. And Mark's favorite expression always is, you can't take out a window and bring it down to the bank to pay your bills, which you can't. So it's either you liquidate the whole thing or you hold on to it and you only get the income stream.
Yeah, it's a challenge. I mean, real estate can be a nice thing, but we find many people that are, the term is house rich and cash poor.
That's right.
And that can happen a lot. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but if you're young, and if you're young and you need liquidity and you need flexibility, you know, maybe you have young children, maybe you have college costs to have to pay, maybe your job isn't nearly as stable as you might have hoped, you might think, well, it's at least nice that I've got that income source coming from that rental property, but it might be even more valuable to have the net gain from that piece of property at your in your control that you can use. Maybe you need $20,000 or $30,000 rather than having to keep borrowing money to do that.
And very frequently you give up quality of life when you could really use the money in the early years so that you might, and again, real estate is like any other investment. And any of you who've lived on the North Shore for 30, 40 years, we've all gone through different real estate markets where there were good times and bad times. I personally, you know, bought a house in 1986 and it went down in value. Mm-hmm. And we sold it in 1994. We got back what we paid, but we didn't make a gain on it, essentially. So, you know, those were not great years for real estate. Now, the previous few years had been fantastic, and I had owned a condo that we sold at a huge profit. So we were very fortunate that we did make money prior to buying this one house. But, you know, that's what happens.
Yeah, I think when you talk about real estate, Marion, something to be considering right now is the fact that, yeah, many people are seeing the value of real estate going up. People are getting some great values. It's a seller's market. I mean, people are, you know, turning over and flipping their houses or selling them very, very quickly because the interest rate environment is so low and so many people can qualify for a home that is worth so much more. But if interest rates go up, what happens to the pool of houses that become available?
That's right. And so prices adjust if there's not that much demand.
Yeah.
So you need to be very careful when you own property. If you are going to need that money in the next few years, you have to be very strategic about when and how you sell that property.
Yeah,
if it's a good market, take your profit and run.
Yeah. So you think to yourself, okay, if I want to spend $2,500 a month on principal and interest, what kind of a mortgage, what kind of a mortgage can I get at $2,500 a month? What you can get today and what you may be able to get 5 years at $2,500 a month is going to be a lot less 5 years from now. I mean, you'll have to take out, you'll have a less of a mortgage, a smaller amount that you qualify to borrow for. And so if you can only borrow a smaller amount, you may not be able to afford such a big house. And if there's not enough people to buy the houses at the prices that they're at, then that forces the prices to have to come down because people want to sell their house.
Right.
And it's a dilemma that we're facing. I mean, people will talk about the fact that as interest rates go up, bonds could go down in value. But I think one of the bigger risks is as interest rates go up, the value of homes could go down in value because the demand to be able of people wanting to spend that large amount of money to buy a house isn't going to be there anymore.
And you also, you know, the other thing you always want to consider is, and a lot of people don't factor in the other costs associated with real estate. There are a lot of holding costs each year, maintenance costs. You have to pay property taxes. You have to get insurance on the house. And every year there, you know, a lot of people look at it and say, oh, well, I've done all the major repairs. With real estate, what I've found is there are almost always repairs. There's always something, unless you have a brand new house. But even then, I've had brand new houses and still there were repairs.
Marion, I think what's kind of interesting is we sit here spending this last segment talking about real estate and buying a house. When someone thinks about working with a financial planner, they generally don't think about having the conversation about, should I buy? Should I lease? What about interest rates? How's that impacting my spending? All of those things. That is what a financial planner does. If the financial professional that you're working with isn't including those conversations as part of your relationship, you've got to ask yourself, do I have a financial planner? Or maybe you just have an investment guy. And I think that's a really important distinction. You need to know the relationship and the types of questions that you can ask of the professionals you work with. I mean, someone that charges you 1% to manage your money, but isn't able to provide you guidance on real estate, on insurance, on buying or leasing a home, buying or leasing a car, purchasing a boat, giving money to your kids to help them with their education or with a wedding or whatever it might be. If they're not willing to do that, what are you paying a fee for? That's a big question, folks. I mean, a lot of the whole industry is moving to this fee relationship where you're going to place assets under management and they're going to charge you a fee. Maybe that fee is 1%, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less, depending upon the assets that you have under management. But if the only thing that you're getting for the fee that you pay is to work with someone who says they can pick investments better than the next guy, folks, you're getting ripped off. You are getting ripped off. You need to understand that. You need to understand what you're purchasing. And so today, as part of this financial advice in a language you can understand, Marion and I are here in studio to try to give you a scope and a sense as to what financial planning really looks like. What is it? What can you expect from a financial planner? So Marion, I mean, when we think about people that call the office, they listen to this show. And if you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation, phone number 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. No one's in the office today. Just leave a message. Jody will get back to you tomorrow. But when people call the office, what's the experience that people get when they first call the office? What is it that Jody talks to them about? What is it that she sends out? How does that work?
So when somebody calls our office, one of the first things we do is we actually ask a variety of questions about you. There are certain clients that we can really provide very valuable advice to, and others that might not fit in our profile. There are some things that we specialize in, and you know, sometimes there are certainly certain financial planning issues that we don't deal a lot with, such as debt consolidations. There are certain areas of expertise that Mark and I have not developed,
right?
So we try to get a feel for who you are and how we might best work with you, how we might best serve you. We also would send out to you our initial, our introductory kit. It tells you a lot about us, how we work, what type of items that we look at, what type of items you might need to collect to bring to an initial consultation.
Yeah, I think one of the best things that we give you in this little kit is this: how to prepare for your initial consultation.
It's a lot. I mean, people will tell us just going through the exercise of preparing for the initial consultation gave them a whole new insight into, you know, the financial planning profession or what their needs are. Because we look at insurance, we look at tax returns, we look at, you know, all of your investments, of course. We look at potential pensions, we look at pay stubs, we look at benefits booklets, and we try to be very, very comprehensive and look at everything, estate plans, because we want to be sure that you are well positioned, not only with investments, but everything else in your financial life that could affect your ability to achieve your goals.
So people receive that information, they gather all of the stuff together, and they generally schedule an initial consultation in the office.
That's correct.
And what happens during that first meeting?
Oh, we're mean.
No, we're not mean. we're not mean.
No, no, I'm joking.
She said an edge today.
So
everyone says Marion's the nicest person in the office, and so, and she is for sure.
She's just buttering me up. Now he must want something. So anyways, they come, you know, our clients come in. Typically, they will, both Mark and I will be in the introductory meeting.
You mean we don't farm them off to some junior person?
Never.
No, we don't do that, folks. That's, you both, meet with us.
Both Mark and I are certified financial planners, which we feel is extremely important to best serve our clients. So you meet with us. Sometimes it's just one of us, but many, many times it's both of us if we're both available. We sit down and we learn a lot about you and your situation and what your goals are. You know, we ask a whole slew of questions, some of them that are very distinctly about your finances, and others are just about your general life, so we can get a better understanding of who you are.
Yeah, I think one of the fun things is that people will come to our meeting with a bunch of data. They'll have all this stuff put together, and they'll sit down and they'll take the data and just push it across the table, and they go, here you go, take a look. And we go, no, take that back. I basically first start our questions, and usually if you are coming to an initial consultation at our office, the first question I ask you is, so tell me why you're here today. And that's an interesting question. Usually most advisors are saying, well, how much money do you have to invest?
Well, let me tell you about me.
Let me tell you about our firm. Or let me tell you about how we manage money or what our process is for our investment philosophies and such.
And we'll tell you all that, but
if you want to know it. Most people ultimately say, you know what? Yeah, I want to know that stuff at some point, but let me be sure that I feel comfortable that you know who I am, that you understand where everything is, what everything's worth, what my goals are, and what I'm truly trying to accomplish. And it's important.
It really is.
And so our first meeting becomes a conversation. And at some point, yeah, we do get to the data. But we get through that rather quickly because, you know what, by the time we get through our conversation, we are getting a real good feel for what we're going to see on the paperwork anyways. Now, what's always interesting to us is sometimes what people say they have or what they think they have is different from the reality on the paper when they present it to us. And that's always an eye-opening experience. Sometimes you find out that you have a lot more and a lot more potential than you thought you might have. And then there's other times when you've overestimated quite a bit.
That's correct. And a lot of times just by looking at it, you also can't tell how much income that could generate. And many people, you know, look at their overall financial life and say, well, okay, well, I have all this money, but what does it mean? Very frequently in years past, you would hear that people say, oh, well, I need $1 million in order to retire. And that is just so far from the truth. $1 million might be way too much for some people and way too little for others. So $1 million means nothing unless it's in a context. How is that money held? What can it provide to you? And is it enough to generate the income stream you need?
So here's a great question for you to think about as we head into the break. I want you to think to yourself, is it more important? What's more important? How much money you make or how much money you have? I think that's a real important question because a lot of people like to boast about the amount of money, the toys they have, the amount of money they have. Other people like to boast about the big salary, the big earnings that they have. What is more important? How much money you make or how much money you have? We're going to answer that question and so much more when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
The blockbuster 2017 musical season has been announced for Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater, and you won't want to miss a show. 76 trombones. Join in the parade when the classic American musical The Music Man marches on stage to open the season in June. In July, you're invited to be our guest when we present the magical family production of Disney's Beauty and the Beast. The summer continues with one monster of a hit show,
It's Alive!
Young Frankenstein, the hilarious Mel Brooks musical. Then join us in the fall for a brand new production of the Tony Award-winning musical, Evita. The season will end with a dazzling production of 42nd Street, the Tap Dance Spectacular. Become a season subscriber and see all five shows from the best seats at the lowest prices. Book your tickets at nsmt.org and make a memory to last a lifetime.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. And I think the little minions are still running around in my head. I can hear the music going on in the background. They're everywhere today. They're just peeking in my head, poking around. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope you're enjoying your Sunday morning. We are here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. You know, North Shore 104.9 has this great lineup of a lot of shows. I hope you enjoyed the gardening show, Paul Parent, just before us, and Aurelia Nelson will be popping in here right after me to let you know about things that are going on in the community. Lots of theater, lots of shows, lots of things to do. So many more shows lined up for you. Of course, you got Billy Costa, Billy and Jenny later on. If you want to find a place to eat, they will tell you about the places to eat. And I don't know how often they tell you about here's places to stay away from. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing for the show, but if you want to know what I think you should stay away from, give my office a call and I'll share with you. I'm big at eating out. I eat out a lot, and I know Marion, who's with us today, my business partner. She is a huge foodie. She'll give you an honest opinion on what she thinks about food as well. So Marion, welcome to the show again.
That could be dangerous.
Yes, it could be, but Marion is really good at that stuff. She will tell you what is good food. Did you know? Fun fact about Marion Gilman. Fun fact. Did you know that Marion was a pastry chef? Ooh, nobody knew that one. She was a pastry chef, weren't you, Marion?
I was.
And how often have you baked me something?
Zero?
Zero. I think that's right. I saw Marion's baking.
Well, so actually ask my family how often I bake them something. And it's not much more than that.
Yeah, I hear about are the pies that you make. But you usually bring them to somebody else, right?
Pies. Yeah. Thanks. Only at Thanksgiving. That's the only time I make pies.
Yeah, the only time I've seen Marion actually bake something and make something was at Reed, her son's engagement party, right?
Correct.
And what did you make?
I made, I forget.
Was
actually,
it chocolate ganache?
I made a chocolate ganache cake and I made a lemon raspberry cake.
Yes, and it was...
but I think I made some other stuff, and I'm not really sure what that was.
Yeah, but
it was a long time ago.
The thing about her as a pastry chef is forget about what it tastes like, which was great. The presentation is everything, and it was amazing. So, if you happen to see Marion on the street, ask her to bake something for you.
Yeah.
Or ask her for a recipe, something. Anyways, when we last left, we asked you the question, is it more important to make a lot of money or to have a lot of money? And I think that's an important, people never think of it that way. There's a lot of people that like to boast about how much they make. You know, when kids get out of college, they're always talking about, I was offered $45,000 and this one was offered $60,000 and this one was offered $52,000. And, then I hear people like my daughter, Mindy, who's a junior at Babs, and she'll hear from friends. Someone was offered $50,000, but the other person got $55,000 from another job offer. And they said, well, I'm not taking this job at $50,000. I must be worth $55,000. And does it really matter? Does it really, when it comes down to it, does it really matter? Does what you make really matter at the end of the day? What do you think, Mary, from what you make versus what you have?
It's, we always say in our office, and Mark, this is Mark saying, so I will let him tell you this.
It depends, right?
Well, no, don't you always say it's not what you make?
It's not what you make,
it's
what
you keep.
And that's really what's most important. I don't care whether you make $750,000. $75,000 or $27,500.
And realistically, in our office, we have clients along a whole income spectrum, and the ones who make more are not necessarily happier, nor are they more well prepared for retirement.
Right.
And, or for any expense.
But what I hate seeing happen is how people that make a lot of money, or whatever is a lot. I mean, I shouldn't even say that. What is a lot of money? No one knows. But let's say you make $300,000 versus someone that makes $60,000. The person that makes $300,000, oftentimes some of those people live a lifestyle that is far greater than their $300,000 lifestyle, and they have nothing to show for it. And then there are $60,000 people that make $60,000 a year and are very, very diligent and disciplined on making sure that they put money away. They don't have extravagant expenses. What's always amazing to me is that the $300,000 earner will always say, well, I don't invest, I don't buy anything extravagant. And that's compared to what? What's extravagant?
That's actually even worse sometimes, because the money just sort of flows away and they're not really sure where it's going.
That's right. And so one of the things that we try to measure is the most important thing that you want to capture with somebody, especially when they're thinking about retirement. It isn't about what they make. It isn't even about what they keep. It's about what do you need to spend. When you know what you need to spend on a month-to-month basis, then we start to look at not what you make, but what you've kept, so that we understand how to use that money along with perhaps other sources that you'll get. Perhaps it's Social Security. Maybe you'll get a pension. And we can give you a framework as to what you can accomplish. But without it, you're dead.
That's so true. And
geez, you've agreed with everything I've said today.
That's really unusual.
It really is unusual. Go ahead.
But I suppose it's a good thing. I suppose it's a good thing. We're on the same page today, Mark. Yep. What can I say?
I guess so.
Yeah, there you go.
It's weird. Must be a Sunday.
That's it.
No, actually, believe it or not,
Maybe it's because spring is coming. You know, we had that magnificent weather.
Couple days, yeah. Yeah, that 80-degree days, and then you never know what you're going to get here. It could snow in June for all we know. I mean, who knows what will happen. But yeah, you know, Marion and I have different approaches to the way we might communicate with clients, the way we might share some ideas, but our general philosophies are the same. I mean, we follow a similar type of financial planning principle,
a core process in our office that we adhere to. And we certainly have the same goals that we want to achieve for clients.
What is that? You mentioned the word core process, Marion. What does that core process look like?
Well, our feeling, we feel very strongly that we should not make any investment recommendations for anyone until we know certainly a lot more about them, what they have and where everything is, how they're positioned. It's extremely important because, you know, we feel very strongly that everyone should have an emergency fund. And if you have no money at the bank, we don't want to be taking your last cent and saying, okay, let's take all of this money and put it in the stock market. Because who knows? And you need it in 2 years. You know, that could be a real dire situation. So we feel very strongly that we know everything about a person before we make any investment recommendations. So when you come to our office, that's the first thing we do, gather a lot of data. And then we put all of this data into our financial planning program, and we create a net worth statement for anyone who comes to us. So that gives you a snapshot at a point in time of everything you own and everything you owe. Your net worth is everything you own minus what you owe. Hopefully that's positive. That's always a good thing. Then once we've created a net worth statement, then we look at what you're spending. What are the spending goals? What are some items that you might want to achieve along the way? Do you want to buy a second home? Or do you want to buy your first home? Do you want to pay for kids' college educations? Do you want to focus on retirement? What are those goals? And how can we look at what you're bringing into the household, what you're spending, and interweave all of that to allow you to save enough to achieve those goals?
Yeah, you know, we talk about this idea of placing the interest of clients first. You'll hear this a lot. It's in every type of media publication that's out there right now. The importance of an advisor being a fiduciary and placing the interest of the client first. So we've always taken that premise. We've been holding on to that premise for, well, as long as I've been doing this, which is 26 years. My dad started it years ago, even before that. So let me ask you this question. Do you believe that your financial advisor places your interest first? Now, I would I would venture to tell you that if I were to go and stand up in front of a room of financial advisors and I ask them the question, how many people believe they place the interests of their clients first? Every hand will go up in the room. Of course, we believe that. They believe that. But let me ask you this in a different way. How much did your client know about your overall financial situation, your entire financial situation, before they invested money for you? You see, one of the questions that I ask of financial advisors when I go out and train other financial planners to be better at what they do, I ask them the question, how many people can produce a comprehensive net worth statement for their client? One that they can verify that says, this is what they own, this is what they owe, this is what they have in their company 401k plan, this is what's in the bank, this is the mortgage on their home, this is the life insurance they have, this is the joint account they have, the IRAs they own, the Roths they own, the annuities, credit card debt, automobile loans, all on one piece of paper. How many people actually have that for their clients? We have 450 households that we serve in our office. I have one of those for every single one of my clients. So I ask the audience now that question. How many of you have a comprehensive net worth statement that you could produce at a moment's notice for a client if you needed to? And of the room of 200 people, 400, 4,000 people, it doesn't matter. Less than 1% of the hands go up. Less than 1% of the hands go up. So I ask this simple question. How can you say that you're placing the interests of your clients first if you don't know where everything is and what everything is worth before you place an investment? And I think that's one of the major reasons that so many people at some point in their life come to us around the time they're approaching retirement or they're early in on retirement. And they come to us and they say, you know what, Mark, I have accounts with this guy and that guy and accounts scattered with this woman and all these different places. But I realize that nobody knows everything about my financial situation. And you know what, Mark? I realize that now is the time to get serious. And it's my understanding that you do this and you take things seriously, that you'll give me advice on everything. Well, of course we will, because we'll know where everything is. No, there's certain things that we can't manage. I can't manage your house.
Or your 401k.
Or your 401k or things like that until you retire. But I'll give you advice on those things. We'll give you advice on that stuff. And that's what opens people's eyes when they realize, wait a second, I'm paying a fee to have my account managed, but the advisor isn't giving me any advice on the rest of my stuff. That has to change. That has to change. And that's what we do at Friedman Financial every single day. I mean, Marion, you can probably think of a story or something that's happened where someone has come to our office and they've said, you know, it's time to get serious. We've had stuff scattered all over the place. Now is the time to get serious. Can you think of anything or any revelation, any story, anything that's happened?
Well, we do have a lot of clients. And, you know, I guess our specialty, I would say, is creating income streams in retirement, because most of our clients are approaching retirement or, you know, have 5 to 10 years until they get to retirement. And they all look at it and say, you know what? We've had a great time. You know, it's been great. We've made money with some people, but now I have this pool of money. How do I create an income stream? How do I replicate my paycheck? When I leave work, my paycheck is gone. How do I get the money I need? And how do I know that's going to last for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
And that life horizon is uncertain too. So how do we look at all of the different possibilities and probabilities and make wise decisions about creating this income stream?
Darren, it isn't just necessarily about the investment, because you have to consider all the other components, such as, when should I take Social Security? Maybe that has a distinct reason as to why we take it early or later. Maybe when you retire, you say, you know what, I want to retire from my job, but I don't want to retire from working. And that happens a lot. A lot of people say, I was 30 years at the GE and, you know, they've extended me this early retirement package. I want to get out at 61 or 62 years old, but I don't know if I want to start taking Social Security yet, even though I'm eligible. And
well, we had some interesting situations where we worked with some companies that were downsizing, and they were offering severance packages to their current employees, and they very generously paid for financial planning services, which was extremely beneficial to the employees. So many of the employees came to us and they found, guess what? They could take this package and retire very comfortably. Others came to us who were not ready to retire, not ready to take the package, but what if they actually were laid off, you know, without an involuntary layoff instead of voluntary? Would they be okay? Or what would they need to do to be okay? And we were able to provide that service and give them some sort of peace of mind where they could say, you know what? I can go out and make less money and still be okay for the rest of my life. So I can get a part-time job. At least they knew what they needed to do.
A lot of questions. And, you know, when we got to take a quick break. But when we get back, I want to talk about some of these financial planning software systems that are out there. A lot of people are trying to do their own retirement planning. And they put some of this data in. And I got to talk to you about the results that some people are getting. Good, bad, indifferent. I want to help you be able to find the right answers, put in the right pieces of data so you can get the right solutions. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Good morning and welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I've had about my 16th cup of coffee this morning, so that's why I'm talking a little bit fast or faster. Hope you're all doing well. It is early Sunday from 8 to 9 each and every Sunday morning right here on North Shore 104.9. We provide financial advice in a language you can understand and to help slow me down a little bit, to help give me get my bearings back into place and to actually provide some really great advice is my business partner, Marion Gilman, who's joining us all morning today. Marion, welcome.
Good morning.
Oh, look how cheery she is.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
I'm a morning person.
Yes, she is. If you're around Peabody sometimes or Peabody and Middleton, you can see Marion walking the walking path?
The bike path.
Yeah, you can usually see her, but she usually doesn't see you because she is just zoned in on where you're going, don't
there
she?
There you go.
Yeah, she's going.
I walk fast.
Yeah, and she does. I've tried to do that. I'll walk a few places with her, and it's like, oh, man, I'll just drive. She does. She walks very fast. Anyways, when we last left, we were talking about a lot of people that are facing retirement decisions and that they're using some of the financial planning software systems that might be made available through Fidelity, through T. Rowe Price, through your employer, wherever it might be, that you can do your own basic retirement planning. And while that stuff is a great baseline to gather some information, what it can't do is tweak its financial planning information specifically to you. It's very limiting.
And you need to be very careful with many of those financial planning softwares as to be certain that you understand what rates of return they're using on investments, what inflation rates they're using for spending, or what's getting inflated and what's not getting inflated. You don't want to put monies in that you have in a bank account and have it earn 7% rate of return. That's not realistic in today's day and age, and it gives you a very different outcome from if you used, 0.5% as a rate of return. You need to be extremely careful about understanding the assumptions behind the software.
Yeah, there's so many moving pieces and so many moving parts that, frankly, the software isn't designed to be as intricate and to be as detailed.
Well, you know what really upsets me in many cases?
What upsets you, Marion?
So, for many people who have 401ks, when you get a 401k statement, it will tell you what kind of income you can expect when you retire. And it gives you a number. It's really interesting. This is what you can expect as a monthly income. Now, if you looked at that, you know, just on the surface, you might say, wow, that's not a bad number. Okay, pretty good. But if you look at the breakdown of that, first of all, they put in a number for Social Security, and they put in the average Social Security for somebody your age who makes what you, or actually they just put in the average Social Security. I'm sorry. Not even, for what your earnings are. So that Social Security number can be way off. I know personally, the Social Security that they say I'm going to get is hugely different from what my actual benefit would be, mm-hmm. according to Social Security. The other thing is that they look at, and in our particular plan, they look at an income benefit until you're 84. Is that a good number?
Right. You're going to die at 84?
There is a very high probability of a couple who reaches age 65 that one of you will be alive in your 90s. So, you know, is 84 a good number to use?
Yeah, how many people do you know that are over the age of 84 right now?
Exactly. Many of our clients.
Right.
So,
and now you're talking to somebody who's probably in their 50s or 60s. The likelihood of them being over age 80 is even greater.
Is even higher. That's exactly right. So that's really somewhat deceiving if you just look at the number. You really need to look down and see what goes into that number. And why are they telling you this?
Yeah, the default characteristics that are in a lot of these softwares can lead to very deceiving outcomes and deceiving
That's
beliefs.
Right.
I mean, we walk in, we talk to some folks that says, well, this software says that I'm going to be just fine. I can retire when I want. Well, that's fine if you plan to live to 84.
Right. And you know, I will say one of the things that we've found out from our clients, when we have clients who are 90 and, you know, they're still going strong, they will tell us, I didn't expect to live this long. How many clients have said that to us, Mark?
Oh, they all say that. So,
yeah.
So I'll tell you a funny story because I just told it a couple days ago, actually. So, you know, my dad started this firm back in 1968, and we'll be celebrating our 50th anniversary, April of 2018. Dad had a client who was from Framingham, Massachusetts. He used to be, he was a candy distributor. And when he was in his late 30s, he started working with my dad to build money, putting money aside. He wanted to save some money. And over the time, he and his wife, they put money aside. They ultimately retired. And they ended up moving, of all places, to Boca Raton, Florida, where everyone seems to go, you know. And so Herb had gone down to Florida with his wife. And I was going down. It must have been about a year, maybe 10 years ago or so that this all happened. I went down to visit him, and we went to Abe and Louie's in Boca Raton for dinner. And Herb is now 83 years old. And I go to see Herb down at Abe and Louie's. He comes driving up in his Cadillac. You know, his knuckles are higher than his head as he's approaching the valet gate. His wife is frail, tiny, full of life, plays lots of activities, still does tennis, all that kind of stuff. We go into Abe and Louie's. We sit down, and she orders the baked stuffed shrimp. And Herb says, oh, he was so excited to be there. Tucks in his napkin. And he says, I'm going to get the king cut prime rib. You know, that's the one that's on the bone, big heft of beef on the bone. And I get my dinner. So we sit and we're talking while we're waiting for dinner to come. And I said to Herb, I said, you know, Herb, congratulations. You're 83 years old. I said, when you first met Dad and you started planning for retirement in your 30s and your 40s, how long did you think you'd live? And he says, Mark, my expectation was none of my parents lived past 65, 68 years old. So I figured if I could live to 75, that would be absolutely remarkable. I said, but Herb, you're 83 years old. He says, I know it. He says, and I feel like I'm on borrowed time. So every day is my day. It's a celebration. I can't believe that I'm doing this well. I'm 83 years old. And, you know, you think about it. You ask yourself, I mean, how old do you think you're going to be? I can't tell you how many people come to us and they say, Mark, you know, if I live to age 90, just push me in front of a bus. I've yet to see anybody push anybody in front of a bus. Never, ever happens. And even if you go to a nursing home or a facility, you can't kill the person. I mean, you got to keep them alive, right? It's what you got to do. And you're going to stretch them out and make them live as long as they can. You're going to live to 100. It's very possible you'll live to 100. And that's how we plan it out. But here's Herb. You know, he's telling me, you know, I'm at 83. I'm living on borrowed time. And all of a sudden, the food comes. Anita gets her baked stuffed shrimp. Herb gets his steak. He's looking at this thing. And you could see him just drooling. He's so excited that he's, and he has got to be maybe 130 pounds. This steak is like this prime rib is, the piece is like bigger than his face. I don't know how he's going to eat this thing. What's he's going to do? So we're sitting across. So Herb fixes the napkin in his collar, stretches it back so he's covering up. With his right hand, he grabs the bone. With his left hand, he grabs the heft of meat and lifts it up to his face and just digs his teeth in and bites down. The juices come drooling down on his face. This guy is happy as can be. He was like Fred Flintstone eating a brontosaurus burger. He was just as happy as can be. And I thought, and people are looking around like, what the hell is this guy doing? This is Zabin Lewis. He eat it with a fork and a knife. I looked at it. He's 83 years old. He's celebrating. Let him do what he wants. So, folks, when you think about how long you're going to live, these software systems that you're looking at, these off-the-rack software systems, you should set the default to say, I'm living to 100. And if you don't think you're going to live to 100, who's to say you're not? Do you know when you're going to die? Does anybody know when they're going to die? No, and in fact, Social Security, people say, well, you know, should I take Social Security early? Should I take it later? Did you know that the break even is around 83, 84 years old?
I actually think it's a little lower than that.
Maybe
around 81.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, lots of things to think about.
Absolutely.
What else about these financial planning software systems, Marion, that you find can be challenging?
I think it just doesn't take into consideration enough. And, you know, it's just a real surface look at what you're spending too. I mean, that is one of the key lessons we've learned in our office. Most people do not know how much they spend, because if you sit there and you write down what you're spending every month, you miss things. There are many items that you pay. Well, for instance, property taxes, you pay it quarterly. Or, you know, whatever it might be, there are so many things that you miss. The other thing is you might be spending on a mortgage now and the mortgage might be up in 5 years and that goes away. So you don't have the, or unless you've done a really good job of, you know, looking into your spending and determining exactly what it is. But many of the financial planning tools don't allow you to refine that in their system. So to put in mortgages that might go away, to put in various spending, to look at whether I take Social Security at 62, 66, or 70.
But the sophisticated ones, the ones that we keep in our office, they do that.
We can do all of that.
All of that with ease. And the thing that's nice is that you're not stuck with one plan. It continues to monitor. It continues to change. There's progressive patterns that shows what's going on. Because you know what? Life happens, folks.
And we can play what-if scenarios,
we
too.
We can, yeah.
And that's very powerful.
And so if working with someone, if you're looking to work with a financial planner, if you'd like to come in and visit with us, first visit is free, no cost at all. For you to come and sit down and talk with us, we'd love to visit with you. Our phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. And Marion, you stepped up to the microphone. It looked like you're going to say something. You wanted to add something in there?
Give us a call.
Yeah, give us a call, right. And don't forget about our newsletter. Go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of the website, click on that button that says sign up for our newsletter, put in your email address, and you'll start getting it each and every Friday morning. It was great being here. I got to turn this thing over to Aurelia Nelson. My name is Mark Friedman. Thank you, Marion Gilman, for joining us today.
Great to be here.
And we're out of here. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.